This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Finding Hope on the EWN Radio Network with Counselor Mandy Epley, where you will learn practical tools for navigating your losses and hear inspiring real-life stories from courageous people who have moved through their losses and found hope. And now, your host, Counselor Mandy.
Hi, welcome to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Epley. I want to tell you what an honor it is to be doing this incredible show, Finding Hope, to be speaking with amazing human beings around their stories of loss, their beautiful stories of grief and heartbreak, and how they're using their stories to change their own lives and to change the world around them. That is powerful stuff. And it so encourages each of us when we experience loss in life, because we all experience loss. Every single one of us experience loss. That is a normal part of our human journey. It is a part of being a human being, as you all know so well. In today's show, we're going to be speaking with another incredible woman. Her name is Christy Smith. Hey there, Christy.
Hello, Mandy.
I'm so glad you're with us today. And as always, I want to give a shout out to the producer of Finding Hope, my dear friend, Cindy Bolero.
Hi there.
Okay, Cindy, will you do the honors again this week and introduce Christy Smith?
We are welcoming Christy Smith to our show today. Christy became a widow when her husband died suddenly at the age of 48. Christy really needed a simple how-to book to help her navigate powerful emotions of grief, so she wrote one. Christy combines 30 years of ministry with a BS in psychology, so she comes from a solid place of experience and knowledge. She is not shy about sharing poignant words that she knows will help grievers process the pain. She has compiled the 5 most profound lessons in her book, Dream, A Guide to Grieving Gracefully, with 5 keys to unlock the grip of grief. We welcome Christy to our show.
Thank you, Cindy. It's great to be here. It's quite an honor.
I want you to share with our listening friends what has been one of this powerful question I've had the honor to ask so many leaders. What has been one of the great losses in your own life? And we'll talk together about how that catapulted you in your calling.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's real easy to go to that point. It was October 4th, 2011, and we got the knock on the door that nobody wants to get, and there was trouble. Mike was not breathing right. He'd come back from a business meeting with a gentleman, and when they pulled into the driveway, the gentleman couldn't wake him up, and so he was asking us, I think there's something wrong, Mike, something's wrong. And that was the beginning of the evening that took us down the path of becoming a widow. Within an hour, I was a widow. And
wow.
So this is my husband, who was a marathon runner and a pilot, so his heart was checked every 6 months by the FAA and was considered heart healthy, and yet what happened was his heart just stopped, and it was like a spark plug that just couldn't reignite his engine. And so even though the paramedics did all the things that they need to do, his heart just could not respond. So pretty much he was gone instantaneously, which the girls and I are with him on the driveway while this is happening. And my girls are 15 and 17, and that's probably the hardest part about it was two things. Seeing my husband, who was so full of life, I mean, everybody that knew him, he was quite a character. He was known as being the big hugger, and he was somebody that when he looked at you, he saw you. And not everybody sees people anymore. So that was a gift that he could just see you and value you, and then the big hug, you just felt like God was wrapping his arms around you. So to see this man so full of life, and then all of a sudden, so lifeless was obviously just a shock to my system. And I think I realized that he was gone pretty quick into it, where I think everybody else, the neighbors and people that had come out, were thinking, oh, it's Mike, you know, something's going to happen. He's going to be back any second now. And when the paramedics came, they got us to the point where, let's just move you on up the driveway a little bit. I think they could tell that if he's not coming back by now, he's not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So they moved us up to the top of the driveway. So the girls and I and two neighbor ladies just grabbed hands together and made this circle and started praying and, you know, just praying out loud. God be with us, with Mike. We pray that you can, you know, bring him back to life, that you would fuse him with the life that he's always had. I don't know what, I was just rambling at that point, just crying out to God. Didn't even really know what I was saying.
Mm.
And at some point, this, you know how they always say, things kind of go into slow motion when you're getting into that new reality or surrealness or something. Things started going into slow motion just while we're standing there in that prayer circle. And I remember just kind of leaning my head back and looking up into heaven and just kind of like, without any words, just crying out, you know, like, what's happening? And I feel like the Spirit spoke to my heart directly, and nothing out loud. This was just an internal whisper that came to me, and I felt like God was saying, I've got you. I've got you. I've got the girls. I've got Mike, but I've got you. I've got you. And that, the way that it came in, I realized he's with the girls and I, and he's with Mike, and Mike's not coming back. There's like this separation of how God can say, I'm simultaneously with the living and the dead, or the people that are going into their new life at the same time. There's just this beautifulness of, I needed to know that he was with Mike, but I just as powerfully needed to know that he was with the girls and I. And from there, we went to the hospital, and within an hour later, they came out and told us the unbelievable news that your husband's gone. And, you know, my girls, I think even to that point, were feeling like, you know, it's going to be fine. They figured out what they needed to do, and, you know, it's just unbelievable. So to receive that news was the most drastic loss that I had ever experienced. It was pretty wild.
Yes, I mean, thank you for sharing that. I mean, heart-wrenching loss. There's such a vulnerability in the story of your husband's dying and passing on, is that, you know, there's, I think for us as human beings, for me, you know, I've heard thousands of loss stories. And so the story of when a human being's heart just, bam, stops. You know, the vulnerability of life of, you know, he was a runner, and he was a pilot, and he was heart healthy. And then, oh, my gosh. And I hear you that during those moments, it was very surreal. You were able to stay grounded. You were able to be centered. And at the same time, I mean, then the unfolding of life. I mean, it was all of a sudden the terrain that you'd been standing on, you were in a foreign land.
There was the shift, and I felt the shift. And we got in the car to ride over to the hospital, and you know how they always say you get choked up with something when something happens? I literally got choked up. Like, my throat was closing, and I knew the reality was coming in that he was gone. And just that gut-wrenching and I don't know, just the nightmare of it all just came in. And thank God that I had the faith to stand on in that moment, because I didn't hold myself up in that moment. There's nothing that can hold you up when the wind gets knocked at you and your feet get taken out from underneath of you. It was just really, I was just standing on the fact that God had me. And that's what I knew, and that's the only thing I knew. I didn't know how we were going to get through this. I just knew that he had promised me that he would get us through it. And so you just step into that tremendous grief, and I don't know, you just go with the waves of it. It's crazy. It was just
the waves of it, I want us, when we come back from break, to speak about the waves. I talk about, and my dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi, in the model that we created, speak about the waves of grief. And I think that is a beautiful, powerful way to speak about the nature of grief, is that, you know, for you to hear that voice of God saying, I've got you.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you have moved through and are still moving through the waves of grief, knowing in the center of your being, okay, you know, God is saying to me, I've got you.
Mm-hmm.
That is so powerful.
Thank you. Amazing. Yes.
Stay with us. When we come back, we are going to speak with Christy Smith more about her story and learn throughout this hour about her work in the world. Stay with us. We'll be back.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Friends of eWomen Network, I want to share with you two cutting-edge and soul-stirring books by author and visionary Chris Saadi. Both are highly recommended by a host of spiritual teachers such as Kate Sheehan Roach and Andrew Harvey. These books focus on the emergence of an evolutionary spiritual understanding, that is, the importance and the power of living authentically, freeing our authentic, unique self, and pursuing our calling from our authentic passion to serve freedom, peace, justice, and inclusion. These two books are Second Wave Spirituality and Prayers for Peace and Justice by Chris Saadi, S-A-A-D-E. Saadi is on Amazon.com and the olivebranchcenter.net.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I'm your host, Counselor Mandy Epley. I am with Christy Smith today, a really fiery woman with a powerful story. She has such a passion in her heart to share her wisdom around what she has learned through her own grief journey. And Christy, before we went to break, we were speaking about how during these, you know, terrifying moments of your husband Mike's death, that you heard this voice of God in your being, you know, saying, I've got you, I've got you, and how that has really helped you through the waves of grief. And I want to say that we're offering, you know, the Christy story with respect to all beliefs in the world. And whatever your belief is or non-belief, you can take the gems of her story and look for what is the wisdom in that that you can apply to your own story and how it can touch you. So
Absolutely. We're
all always learning from each other. So we're offering that with full respect for all beliefs. So, Christy, I want to ask you this question. So many people come to me and ask me, you know, how long is this process going to take? And I want to specifically focus in on the shock, because I have worked with so many beautiful humans that have a lot of guilt around how long, from their point of view, it takes for the shock to wear off. And each of us have a unique story. You know, we all have our own journeys. And what's your wisdom to share around what you experienced around the shock of this, you know, surprising death of your husband?
Well, you know, kind of in retrospect, I can tell you that shock is a gift. I'm very thankful for denial, because if the full reality of what was happening would have come into my mind, I would have imploded. So
yes.
I think that it's given to us as kind of a way to ease us into the reality of what's happening. Yes.
Absolutely.
But the key is to be eased into your reality. So one of the things that I kept running into that first year after Mike died was I kept meeting people that seemed to be locked up in one of the stages of grief. Mm-hmm. And one of the easiest ones to get locked up in is denial. And I get it. I get why it happens. Most people think, if I wade into these waves, if I wade into these feelings and the reality of what's happened, I'm going to be overcome. So mm-hmm. it's easier kind of just to hang out on the shore. What the fool of that is, or the lie of that is, that we feel like we're being able to avoid the pain. In reality, we're avoiding the healing. It's almost
yeah.
like it locks us in the pain. So I get getting locked up in denial. It's a form of, I don't want to wake up to this nightmare. I'd rather mm-hmm. just stay asleep. And but the healthier thing that we want to shoot for is to be able to come up out of that denial into the reality. So it's important to keep moving. Now, how long that takes, I can't say for anyone else,
right.
but I do think that there are some key signs that you can tell when you're getting locked up in something. For instance, if you feel like you're as sad or as mad as you were the day that it happened, that's a sign that you're not moving into healing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be a process that you feel that you're making some steps. There's days that it feels very intense, and then there's days that it's something more manageable. But overall, you should be moving towards the healing. And I think it's kind of a lie that is out there that people say, well, you know, you never heal from something. It's always going to be a hole in your heart. And I get that to a certain degree, but I also think it's important that we don't let people be thinking it's okay that they're just going to be caught in this forever. I obviously, the level of sadness that I was in those early moments, in those first couple months, if anybody is caught in that level of pain, I want to do everything I can to get them out of that, because that's not something I would ever want to revisit. So
yeah.
it's important
yeah.
to keep moving forward in our process. It is a process. But I think it's something we can do. It's possible.
I mean, I think what's so important about you putting your voice out there and into the world, and why I'm so passionate about speaking about grief and teaching about grief, which, you know, I joke a lot with my colleagues and with my friends. It's like, of all the things to be passionate about, you know, in the world, it's like, great, you know, I'm passionate about grief. Nobody wants to talk about it, you know. And it's the very thing that, it's one of the very themes in our human journey that we all have to face. People we love are going to die. Relationships are going to end. Dreams are not going to manifest. We are going to die. I mean, it's a part of living. It's a part
yes.
of what makes life so, also paradoxically, so juicy, amazing, and fabulous.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that there is, you know, on the one hand, what I see in our culture is that there is a message that you won't, you know, you're never going to be well, or you're not ever going to be able to reclaim, or you're always going to be this devastated. And at the same time, I think there's another teaching of, you know, don't feel too deeply, don't
mm-hmm.
go into it too far, and really you need to be over it, as I say, in 3.5 days. You need to
yeah,
get
oh, no.
and keep moving. And so I think, you know, what I love and why I wanted to have you on Finding Hope is for you to be able to share your story and share your wisdom around what's been useful and helpful to you. Because for so, you know, none of us grieve in the same way. However, friends, there are similar themes in our humanity, and so when you're listening to Christy's story, to look for what you can really relate to and resonate with, even if your loss has not been a death, around what can help you unlock your grief and keep moving towards reclaiming the life that you are designed for yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think going through the grief process, I know all this now. There's five stages of grief, or traditionally there's five stages of grief. And with each of those stages, there's something that I found in my journey that helped unlock that. So, for instance, if you look at the five stages of grief, like five doorways, there's got to be five keys to get through that. Or if you look at it like each of those stages is something that you're hurting and you're going through a process of hurting, there's an antidote. There is some medicine for that that you can put on there. And so you can go ahead and unlock, which is what I call it, unlock that grip of so that it doesn't have you prisoner. In the anger stage, which I met a lot of women were in the anger stage still. I think I get that because anger is a little bit powerful. I would much rather be angry than sad. Sad makes me feel vulnerable, weak, but anger, I feel powerful. So women, a lot of times, my opinion, showed more signs of anger. Men typically were caught up in sadness. And I think because they somewhat are able to compartmentalize their feelings, they get caught up in that sadness. Every time I would see one of Mike's friends, it was like he looked like he was as sad as the day that Mike died because he wasn't able to process that. He was afraid of his, you know, dealing with the sadness. So it's important with all of these stages to feel them. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're talking about. You have to feel in order to heal. But what you don't want to do and what you can lock you up just as quickly is if you don't feel or if you see the feeling. There's two routes. If you don't want to feel, you can avoid it. Well, that'll keep you trapped. Or if you want to feel and you want to kind of feed it, I want to feed that anger. I want to feed that sadness. I want to reminisce on all the sadness. And I'm not disking feeling your feeling, but there's a difference between when you're feeling it and when you're feeding it. And there's a healthy difference between the two. And being able to determine, am I feeling this or am I feeding this? And being able to make that call on, you know what, now's the time to unlock this stage. There's an appropriate time to move on. And so for each of the five stages of grief, I've determined and wrote out this little dream process, I call it, because DREAM is an acronym for the five keys that I say will unlock the grip of grief. So give you a quick scenario on it. D is dare to dream, and that's when you're in the denial phase. When you're in the denial phase, obviously a nightmare's happened. You need to dream. You need to dare to dream to kind of catapult your mind on the other side of what you're going through and say, you know what, I don't know how I'm going to get through it, but I'm claiming that I will get through it. It's holding on to hope, which allows you to wade into those feelings, wade into that reality.
I love that. I just want to say before you go on, I love that dare to dream because, you know, when you're standing in that pain and nightmare of facing how your reality has shifted, it takes, as you know, just so much courage to be willing to, extend your gaze past, what has happened in your life.
Yes. And I think a lot of people get caught in that denial because they feel like if I start feeling my feelings, if I go into that deep, dark, endless cave, I'm going to get lost and I won't be able to find my way out.
Yes,
and I want to say, you know, it's not a deep, dark, endless cave. It's like a tunnel. It does get dark. It does get darker in the middle, but there is a light at the other end. And that's where daring to dream allows you to put that light, that spot on the other end that you realize, I'm going to keep walking towards that light. I know there's a light and I'm going to keep walking towards that. And that's what allows you to wade into this. And then the next phase that I went into was anger. And I think you can go into anger or sadness. There's not a rhythm to it other than I'm just explaining my rhythm. And I was angry like at everything. This wasn't just I was angry at Mike being gone. It was like I was angry at all the paperwork that I had to do and angry that I had to take his name off of things and I didn't want to delete his name. I didn't want to delete him from my life. Mm-hmm. Angry across the board. And this is like an anger that I hadn't experienced before. I started saying cuss words that I didn't know. I didn't even know these words before Mike died, you know? I was like, wow, what is that? That's colorful. Isn't that cute? But for me to unlock that anger, I had to get to the root of the anger. And I call that stage R, D-R, dream is D-R, and that's remove the stinger. You have to find out what about this new reality is so making you mad and get to that root. And I got to it by saying why. So why am I mad? I'm mad because Mike's dead. Why are you mad because Mike's dead? Well, obviously because he's dead. What about that makes you mad? Well, because he's not here. What about that makes you mad? I got down to my stinger, which was, you know, I'm coming up on the girls are going to graduate. They're going to need somebody to walk them down the aisle. I'm going to turn 50. We're going to have grandkids, and you're not going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
That really makes me mad, is that not just that you're not here right now, but also that you're not going to be here then and then and then and then.
Yeah.
And then I could put some love around that singer. And, you know, when Abby got married, we addressed the issue of who's going to walk her down the aisle. How are we going to manage this without Mike here? And being able to put some love around that helped to alleviate that anger. It's like putting, removing that stinger and letting the healing start happening. So in the anger stage, real important to just grab that, get that stinger out of there.
When we come back, we are going to keep moving through these five keys with Christy Smith. Stay with us. We'll be back.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
The seven steps of grief and hope can be found at therespite.org on the Hope Is Now page. This is a video series that I had the honor and privilege of co-creating with my dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi. This model, the model of heart-centered grief, is designed in seven coaching sessions where you can stream or watch the DVD videos where Chris and I are coaching you through these incredibly powerful seven steps to give you hope, and their practical ideas, creative ideas, to help you move through your grief journey in an inspired way, in a way with great dignity, and to support you through this difficult time in your life. Whatever your loss is, friend, the model of heart-centered grief is designed to empower you and encourage you on your journey.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Epley. We are speaking with Christy Smith today, and she is sharing with us her wisdom, the five keys that she has put together around unlocking grief, so that in our process of grieving, that we do not get stuck in our grief journey. So I really loved what you were saying around, I mean, what I'm loving about what you're sharing is that you're very much focused on helping people move through the process.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. It's vital. It's vital. Because what if you don't move through the process, what I found was that not only do you get locked up, but everyone else around you gets locked up. If you're a mom, you can't model to your kids how to get through it. If you're a friend, you can't help your friend's family get through it. So it's more contagious, I guess.
Yes.
Fear is more contagious, and I want to put as much out there around the faith to get through it that we can. And so my little acronym is DREAM. It's what I remember, and when I'm caught in the emotions, it's my keys to unlock the grip of grief.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go into the sadness stage, for instance, that's the E, D-R-E, what I say to unlock the sadness stage is embrace awkward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought about calling it embrace change, but change has already happened.
Right, right.
You know, you can go with it or you can fight it, but it's already happened. And so learning how to make friends with the change that's happened and looking for the positive that's coming out of it, looking for the growth that's coming out of it, that's what helps unlock that sadness. And for me, I have a story in my book about the potty parable. I've gotten up all my guts to go to this party. It's 1 year after Mike had died. I'm a single person. I don't know how to be single. I've been married for 25 years. Go to this party. At one point, I'm in the bathroom, and this gentleman walks in on me.
No.
So this situation goes from being awkward to awkward-er.
And
yes. He was the sexiest man at the party, which makes it even worse. You know, just like guy that you kind of make eye contact with and you look away really quick because he's just so good looking. It was that man, you know, the Italian shoes and the cufflinks and just fine. And that's the one that I'm eye to eye with about, you know, he's about 2 feet away from me and I'm on the throne and I'm like, seriously.
The first time I go to a party. And
yes.
The sexy guy walks
yes.
in when I'm sitting on the john.
Yes, I put my big girl panties on, and then I had to pull them down, and there he is. What is happening?
Yes.
Not fair. Just not fair on any level. But what I realized in that moment was it was so much a model for everything else that I was dealing with the sadness. Is I had a choice to make. I could hide out in the bathroom. I could leave the party early. Or I could go out there and enjoy the rest of the party. And I think God wants us to enjoy the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that happen that are awkward, which are horrible, which are unthinkable, and there is a way through it. And getting through it, I think, is you have to just embrace how awkward it is.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just a matter of making peace with it. I went out and looked around, and thank God he wasn't right there. It gave me a little bit of breathing space. But I figured out I'm not just going to stand here in this party and have him be here and be, like, awkward.
Mm.
So I go up to him. He was upstairs. I found him. I went go over and shake his hand. I say, you know what? I think we should meet. My name is Christy Smith. You know, it just took it took all the power of it away.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then that, guess what? That's the party that I tell more people about than anything.
Mm.
That most awkward moment could have gone one of two ways. It could have locked me back into, what are you doing? You're not a single girl. You don't know how to do this. Or it could have propelled me on the other side of, you got this, girl. You can
mm-hmm.
do this. And
mm-hmm.
it was a defining moment for me. Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll give you a little bit about A. A is asking for help. And that was when I was in the bargaining phase. And I had no idea what bargaining meant, first of all. I was like, what is bargaining? Is there something for sale? I don't know. But for me, it was more like, I had gotten far enough in my journey that I'd gone through the anger, sadness, denial, and now I'm here at this point, and I feel like what I had was more of a chip on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like I was arguing with God and saying, you know, you kind of owe me. I've been through enough here, and now, you know, you took my first husband, you better bring me another husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gone through all this pain, now you owe me financially, I better, you know, inherit and $1 million, or you just go into this arguing phase with God, and it's not pretty at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you're demanding payment for the pain that you've been through, and being able to unlock that demanding spirit, the only way to unlock that for me was to ask for help. Instead of demanding what I wanted, I asked for what I needed, and boy, just a switch, just that slight tweak in it. You know, when somebody dies, everybody always says, you need anything, you let me know. And they mean it. And so when you ask for help, they're already hoping that you will. Because if they can come alongside you and do something, they're going to feel awesome. It's going to give them a blessing. And you're going to get a blessing because you're asking for what you need.
Yeah.
So that was a phase I realized, gosh, people were blessed by helping me. And it was amazing because I needed the help. I needed all the help I could get. And then the final phase is moving on. And when I talk about that, sometimes people get offended, like I'm saying, move on, get over it. You know, I don't mean it by that. I mean one little thing that you can do. For me, moving on meant from, you know, 3 months after Micah died, I went from sleeping on the couch to being able to move back in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
That was my 20-foot journey. It took me 3 months to do. And but once I sold the king bed, the king was gone. I got the queen bed because I'm the queen, and I did some redecorating and some spa colors. I was able to move on, which wasn't mean I was over Mike and it was all done and the grief was over. It just meant that I was making one step forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Grieving is a lot of one steps. That's all I would say. It's a lot of one steps. Yeah.
I mean, I really get what you're saying. I mean,
I like Moving On because it's provocative. It makes people really think about what is she saying here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your grief journey and story, it is going to be with you for the rest of your life, friends. And and there's no part of what we're saying is that you're not going to pack it up, as you know. This is so much about what is that step so you can keep moving, so you can, you know, thinking about grief also as a river that you can allow it to keep moving through you. And that, I think that's such a beautiful example of moving from the couch back into the bedroom. That was a movement. So I want to say that I love how you're offering these, you know, around the five stages that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, you know, the pioneer originally around death and dying, created, and how you're then bringing your wisdom around what can help, you know, unlock those doors for you so you can move through these stages and sharing your beautiful, you know, heartfelt and heart, you know, broken story around what helped you keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. And, you know, there are so many important ideas and tools that, you know, that now more and more through the power of the internet, et cetera, are available to people. And what I like so much about what you're offering is that you're saying to people, you know, feel mm-hmm. your feelings and keep moving. You're mm-hmm. saying to people, take risk. You're saying to people, dare to dream.
Yes.
You know, keep your hearts open. And I love how your work and the model that you're bringing, it flows so beautifully with the model of heart-centered grief, the seven steps of grief and hope that Krista Adi and I co-created. What connects so beautifully is that we talk about the importance of keeping one's heart open. We talk about affirming your grief and paradox. We talk about you know, your connection with the beloved, with your divine, with your own faith, about service and the importance of giving back, and about celebration. And these are all the things that you're speaking about daring to dream and living again. And and what you said around that, you know, that your belief is from your, you know, your tradition that God is saying, I want you, you're still here. You know, I want you to keep living. You're still here. And as long as you're living, I want you to be thriving, not just surviving.
And that's the promise that we have, that whatever we go through, we'll be able to get through it. We'll be able to rise above it. Now, I'm not saying that you won't, that moment in time on the driveway will forever be a part of my life. It was a defining moment. But what I want to be able to move on into is I want that to be a moment in my life and Mike's memory to be something I carry on with me. But I don't want my whole life to be defined by I'm a widow and that's what happened and that's forever who I'm going to be. I don't think it should be something like that. It shouldn't be able to write our epitaph just because we buried our loved one. It shouldn't have to be that way. Yeah. And they wouldn't want it to be that way, honestly. They wouldn't want it to be that way. So it's a way of honoring their memory, but also honoring the rest of the life that you have to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you would, I mean, Krista, share with us this journey of when we come back from break. I want you, if you would, to share your journey with us around what it's been like manifesting this book and the exciting things that are happening right now for you around your book. And we want to give the information to our listening friends how they can find you, your work, and the book. So stay with us, friends. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. and once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I am with Christy Smith, and we have been talking about her story, about the 5 keys that she has put together to help unlock the 5 stages of grief. And I would love for you to be able to talk about your work and just this journey of manifesting your book.
That would be wonderful. I'd love to share that. Basically, I didn't plan to write a book. I just was working through my own grief by journaling. And at the end of a year, I realized I really have some things here that I think not everybody is aware of. I kept meeting people that were, you know, locked in the sadness. That one gentleman told me he cried every day for 2 years after his wife died. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't imagine that level of grief every day. What could help this man? And so I determined to write down what I had learned and just share it with the people that were in my circle, that knew Mike, that were in our town, that kind of a thing. And so the book's called Dream, A Guide to Grieving Gracefully with 5 Keys to Unlock the Grip of Grief. Mm. And that came out about a year and a half ago, and I just self-published it and handed it out to people that I knew that needed it. And what happened was this movement started happening. There was this unlocking, like people would come up to me at a book signing and I could see them and they were broken, and we would talk about something, and a week later they'd written or read the book, and they'd email me and say, I'm not that same sad little girl that you saw standing at your table last week. Something's been unlocked in my life. And so I knew there was a message here that needed to get out to the masses. I just didn't know how to do it. And so it was released, launched on November 18th, and within less than 12 hours, it reached the number one best-selling book category. So there is definitely a need for this kind of material out there, especially around the holidays. I think this is God's timing to get this out there, because the holidays are rough. I mean, even me thinking about going into the holidays right now, I have this, you know, anticipation, apprehension about it. So this is something that I would love for people to buy for the people that are in their lives that they know need it, and give it to them as a gift. Sign it and give it to them, wrap it up with a bow and give it to them as a gift, because there are gifts in this. You know, I can guarantee you there will be something that people read in this book that will help move them a little bit further in their healing. It's just got that level of truth in it that allows people to hear something that they needed to hear, and all of a sudden they're able to start healing where before they were not able to heal. So it's pretty exciting, I have to tell you.
Yes. I am so happy for you. I'm so thrilled for you. I love seeing people. And for you listeners, I mean, I don't know Christy well, and I mean, watching her go for this dream, and it is so incredible to see people take their losses and use them to give back to the world. And that's another reason that I wanted to have you on Finding Hope, is that I am passionate about sharing stories of people like yourself who have taken their heart devastation and used it for fuel to give back to the world. And I'm so passionate about supporting people, that there are great gifts that come from our grief, and that we have to have the courage to sort through the rubble.
Yes.
And to look for where is that treasure. We have to, you know, when we're willing to sort through the rubble, we're going to find treasure and learn more about who we are. It's so often through our suffering that we connect and are ignited, you know, our gifts are ignited inside of our being. And so what's so important about the book that you've written is to help people truly get unstuck.
Yes.
Get unstuck so that they then can connect with their gifts and then use their gifts to serve and to give back.
Yes.
Because, friends, I say this show after show, there is not any psychological, and I'm a therapist saying this to you, there is no psychological technique or New Age mumbo jumbo or new thought idea that is going to help you with your grief like service and giving back to others.
Yes.
When you're at a place in your life that you are able to give back, that is going to feed your soul and bring you meaning in ways that nothing else can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing, dear lady.
Yes, it's leaving the breadcrumbs. I made it through that tunnel, and I want to leave the breadcrumbs for the people behind me, because when I'm on a show or when I'm speaking or I'm on a video, I have people's names in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think of, who am I speaking to now? I'm speaking to Barbara, and I know her story. And I'm speaking to Chris, and I know his story. And I just bring up these people because it makes it more more tangible. Why am I going through my story again? Only because I know it'll help somebody else.
Yeah.
It's already helped me. I've already worked through the dream process, and I dream again. I have to go through it all. I call it dreaming again. I have to go through this process of healing as the waves come. But to be able to turn around and say to somebody and look them in the eye and tell them, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how you're going to get through it, but I know that you're going to. And just being able, they know you know what you're talking about, because
yes.
they know that you have been at that point of devastation.
Yes.
Not the same devastation that they have, but they at least can pick up on that vibe of, you know what real pain is like.
Mm-hmm.
And so you turning around to that neighbor behind you, that coworker, that relative, and saying, you know what, you're going to get through this, and here's something that will help you. That's a beautiful thing. It's a true gift to share that with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, and I get that you've had a lot of support and a lot of community and loved ones helping to hold you up. And,
yes.
And that is so essential, friends. And for many...
Yeah.
You know, for so many people that are going through loss, they feel so alone and so isolated. So it's all the more reason that you all know that these tools are available, that Chrissy Smith's book, Dream, is available, and that, you know, another tool is the Model of Heart Centered Grief, which you can find on our website at therespite.org. And so share with our listeners before we need to close about how they can find out about you and your work and find the book.
That'd be awesome. Let me put one little thing in there that you prompted in my mind. At the end of the book, we have a chapter called Dear Dream Team. And that is for, it's notes for supporters, because people are always asking, you know, what should I say? What should I do? How can I help this person? And so we actually address it at the end of the book. So it's also a resource for people who are trying to come alongside grievers.
Yeah.
But the best way to get my book is obviously Amazon.com. But also you can go to my website, which is specifically for the book, and it's Chrissy Smith Dream Book. And I'm going to spell that because Chrissy is a weird word that nobody knows how to spell. Chrissy Smith Dream Book.com. And Chrissy's K-R-I-S-T-I Smith dreambook.com. And there you'll find free videos that we've created, downloadable resources. You can sign up to receive additional resources. It's kind of your one-stop shopping where you can find out about this dream process and how to get yourself moving forward, how to help the people that are around you that need that nudge towards healing.
I mean, I think it's both, isn't it? It's, as you said, it's for you, friends, that are yourselves individually grieving, and it's also for those of you that are eager to support
yes.
your loved ones. And it is that time of year
yes.
Where we are entering into the holiday season, and this is a wonderful tool that you can offer to your loved ones that you know are grieving, as well as the resource in the back. I mean, one of my favorite things that I say is, you know, we've got to be able to sit with people in their pain. So, you know, using your Christy's book can even help you all learn to sit with people in their pain. I just want to say on behalf of, you know, so many people that I have worked with, I love that you have taken your story and the grit and the determination to put it and manifest it into a book. I know what that process is like. And I know for us with the model of Heart, Center, and Grief, we poured our heart and soul creating those seven steps and that DVD series.
Absolutely.
You just poured yourself into it. And that is such a huge gift of generosity.
Well, let me give a shout-out to my two girls because they were part of the process. My oldest daughter, Abigail Wenzel, is the photographer that took the picture for the cover of the book, and she also made Mama look real good in the author photo. So shout-out to Abigail Wenzel of Abby Wenzel Photography. And then my daughter, Faith, is the one that put the whole book into the computer because I wrote it by hand. And so she was my little scribe up in the middle of the night typing all of this in. So it is it's a labor of love from the Smith girls to whoever needs it. It's our gift to you.
That's so beautiful. And I love the shout out to your girls. Okay, thank you everybody for being with us. We will see you all next time on Finding Hope.
Counselor Mandy would like to offer you a free gift. As you've heard on her show, Finding Hope, she and Chris Saadi co-created the Seven Steps of Grief and Hope. She would like for you to have a free recording that includes an introduction to the seven steps and takes a deep dive into step four, paradox. In this recording, Chris and Mandy talk about how important it is to honor the grief journey. After listening to this recording, you will understand the importance of viewing your grief paradoxically, feel supported that you're not alone, and be inspired about how your grief can help others. To download this free recording, visit therespite.org. Just scroll down on the homepage to where it says, "Hear about the transformational seven steps of grief and hope," and click the Get Access button. It's that easy. Mandy's passion in life is helping people see that the losses in their life have meaning. We hope you'll accept this free gift from her. Again, visit therespite.org to get your free recording.
Look ahead to the distant horizon. See the phoenix all aflame and she rises. From our wounds come a future alive and yearning. We gotta keep the fire burning. Fire burning, keep the fire burning.